A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey cool dudes, welcome to another episode of my movie making podcast extravaganza. How is this film of yours, Marek? Yeah, that's what this podcast is about. I speak to filmmakers and then I use their advice to make a film. So far, I've raised £710. Thank you to all the donators. I've spent, well, after today, about £620 of it. So I've got hardly anything left. I've started making the film. I've just come back from the woods where I got a friend to film me burying a body. I mean, it was quite an awkward experience. You can find out all about the latest in my filmmaking thing. Oh, I'm so tired. It's very tiring work, burying bodies, or even not real ones. You can find out all about it on mareklarwood.com/Marek makes a movie. And then there's a blog of where, if you click on that, there's a blog on there. Well, I'll go into more detail about it. If you have donated, thank you very much. You're literally saving my bacon. If you would like to donate and help the film, I'd be really, really grateful. And if you donate more than £5, I'll send you a nice badge. How about that for a deal? Anyway, this week I spoke to Nick Coop, who is a producer. He's been listed as the TV Festival's top 30 ones to watch in up-and-coming television workers. I work with him on a couple of things. One of them is a short called Lucky Chicken, which we talk about in the podcast. I'll put a link to that on the Marek Makes a Movie Facebook page. And also, I must apologise for the sound of doors banging occasionally as we were in a small room and lots of dickheads walked past. Anyway, that's enough of me talking. No one wants to hear that. Keep supporting my project. I think you're all really nice. All right, just get on with it. It's Marek Makes a Movie. What's it about? I'll tell you. Talking to filmmakers about stuff. Editing. Camera work. Directing, acting, all sorts, mainly bullshit. Well, hello again. I am in a small room with Nick Coop. It is pronounced Coop, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
And you can pretend you're in a small room too. And what's great about it is there's definitely going to be that really weird echo that everyone enjoys listening to. Now, Nick, I've done some short films with you, and I'm going to talk today about producing stuff.
Yeah.
And you've produced stuff and you worked as a production coordinator. First of all, it's always really weird trying to work out what does a producer do?
Yeah, I'm trying to work that out as well. I think it depends on the different projects, because whenever we've done short films or anything together, that's sort of been my job, has been there at the very start, coming up with the idea sometimes, all the way through to making sure we've bought the right Kit Kats on the day.
Oh, I mean, this is harking back to an incident. Before we start, our listeners will be intrigued by a lot of people who are listening to One About Film, but if you were to buy a chocolate bar as food for your crew, who would pick a penguin over Kit Kat? I mean, penguins are a shit chocolate bar.
Great chocolate bar.
And since this incident, have you started buying Kit Kats and a penguin?
It's been exclusively Kit Kats on all my sets since Marek almost stormed off his own shoot a couple of months ago.
It's about 6 months ago now, isn't it? So say for example, like you're a producer on a film, and someone goes, "Oh right, here's a budget. You've got a budget of about Lucky Chicken's a good example. If we worked on a film called Lucky Chicken, which was a silent film, and you produced that, and it was for young filmmakers, and was it $7,000 the budget?
Yeah, it was meant to be $5,000, but it was $7,000 in the end. Yeah.
How do you work with a sort of negligible amount of money?
Well, it's sort of, I mean, that's a really, that sort of budget, because that was a 3-4 day shoot for a £7,000 budget, and that was sort of almost irritatingly in between, because then you're paying people a bit. I think the mistake that I've made before with budgeting is sort of working out what I should pay everyone and what the stuff should cost, and then coming to a figure based on that. But often with sort of low budget and indie filmmaking, you have to work out what you've got and what you can afford. So with that, it's a case of working backwards and saying, well, we've only got this amount of money, so I can only afford to pay the crew, you know, £2,000 in total. So that means we'll work it out. If we've got 10 people, that's two. And it's sort of working backwards from there and coming up with a fairly arbitrary figure that you're offering people as sort of a token or a gesture, rather than when you're working on a proper film with proper money, you start and you work out, right, this is how much a director costs, this is how much everyone costs.
You have to know what the film is before you can work any of the costs, really.
Yeah, there's no sort of, I'm sure there are sort of, I've been, gone on courses before where they've said, like, you know, budget should be a third post-production, a third this, or a third whatever, but that all entirely depends on what you're shooting and who's shooting it. I work with directors a lot who sort of have their own kit, so that obviously reduces your budget massively. Or if the director's going to do the edit and sort of colour it themselves and that sort of thing.
That's the thing now, a lot of low budget stuff, people are doing everything themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, and it's sort of, because it's not easy, but it is possible to make something really high quality with sort of, you know, feature films being shot on iPhones and stuff, and I don't think that's really necessarily what everyone should be doing, but you can, particularly with comedy as well, because if it's funny, it's sort of funny. It doesn't matter if it's shot on an iPhone or shot on the highest end camera with a shooting crew of 100 people.
That is good news for this film, which currently has £710 budget, which I spent about £500 and something off.
On Kit Kats, yeah.
I haven't yet to buy any Kit Kats. So say you're getting into, how does someone get into producing it? What was your road into it?
Mine was sort of, I'm still on that path a bit. I started off, I was working as a runner on feature films and trying to sort of work out whose job on set I actually wanted, and it's sort of been a process of elimination from there. And I think for me, what I like about producing is being that sort of central figure across.
You like the power
thing. I like the power more than anything, yeah. But being sort of across everything and understanding what everyone's doing, and I found whenever I go down a more specific role, like when I worked briefly for like the AD department, I was sort of felt like I was out of the loop of other stuff going on, and I wanted to be more Yeah, and that's why I enjoy sort of production work as well, and coordinating and that sort of thing.
So your job at the moment, you're a production coordinator at the BBC?
Yeah.
And what does that involve?
So that's a lot of working on radio, which is obviously much sort of lower budget and lower manpower than TV. So we sort of, they'll often just be a producer and a coordinator, and that's the entire production team for a radio show.
And all you've got to do is just say to Miles Jupp or Susan Carman, what do you want to do next? And that's it, right? Isn't that BBC Radio?
That was, I'm not sure that's a policy, but...
Okay, so when you're working on the film, so it's a short film, and you've worked a lot with Gully Moore, who's a great director, what's your relationship like on... when you're working on a short film, what is your sort of workflow, and what are you responsible for?
So the bit that I really enjoy about producing is sort of being responsible for the sort of overall editorial, like sort of the where you're going to shoot it, how are you going to shoot it, who you're going to cast in it. I really like enjoy that process, and then making sure like the integrity of what has been written is sort of being, you know, presented on screen and all of that. So there's a lot of that's sort of the bit that I really enjoy. But when we're doing short films, you can't really afford to have an enormous production team, so I'll also end up, you know, booking the venues and doing all the budgeting and working out what we can pay locations and finding like location scouting and agreeing contracts with locations, like all of that side of it, as well as negotiating cast deals and booking them and working out where they live and how they're going to get to set, and, you know, often writing a call sheet and doing a risk assessment and all of the, like, buying the food and
buying the penguins,
making sure there are enough penguins for everyone, and all of that, like, practical stuff as well, which is sort of 3-4 people's jobs,
yeah,
if you do it properly. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Talking about locations, see, I needed a couple of locations for my film, which is going to cost me. How do you approach, for example, I want someone to buy, I have to go and buy a trowel and a hacksaw from a DIY shop or garden centre. So I need, and my thing can be filmed all from sort of as a vlogging film to get away through the making the cost cheap.
Yeah.
But obviously these have been, all the other locations I'm trying to source where I can use the places that I live in or my friends live in.
Yeah.
How do you approach them, and what is a standard fee for, say, oh, it's going to be an hour or something like that? Or
it just massively varies, because as soon as you start paying anything, so we made Lucky Chicken. We've made a few films in this place called Froome in Somerset, which is this like lovely, it's so picturesque. They film Poldark and stuff there because it's so old school picturesque. And for the thing we just did, actually, we realised that our transport and accommodation budget was sort of massive. This, it was a £15,000 budget overall or something, and we'd spent like £3,000 or £4,000 on getting everyone to Somerset and accommodating them for four nights. But our locations budget was literally nothing, because we'd got all of these places, they were just happy to have us and really excited by what we were doing. And, you know, so long as you, we put thank you to them at the end of it,
mm-hmm.
On the credits or wherever we posted it, they were sort of, they were happy and they were just excited. I think it's so, yeah, that's sort of the, my recommendation is finding places where they're intrigued and they know that they're sort of doing you a favour rather than, I mean, it's quite hard in London because everyone's just miserable. And
everyone's miserable, and I've got to go and approach people and say, yeah, I basically want to buy some something from your shop, which I'm going to use to cut up the body and then bury it.
Yeah. That's always the thing, you have that, like, where they'll ask for the contacts. I've got a friend who's making
I also have to apologise for the banging of the door outside. Yeah. I mean, it adds to some, adds to the drama, doesn't it?
It's the drama of the BBC toilets where we're positioned literally next door.
Yeah.
Banger. But yeah, I've got a friend who made a sketch the other day which was all about, like, people, the reality versus the expectation of like losing people's virginity, and people saying, oh, it was amazing, it was this fantastic experience, and then cutting to what it was actually like. And they turned up to film in this Airbnb, and the person there was like, oh, I'm just going to be hanging around, I thought it would be really interesting to see a film set, see what you're all up to.
No.
And he was just like, oh God.
Oh no.
What are you filming? And you just...
Sure, it's part of the Airbnb, they've got, they can't hang around, they've got to go, haven't they?
Well, yeah, I mean... I don't think technically you're not allowed to film in Airbnb, so I probably shouldn't drop him in it. But yeah, that's the main thing, is just finding people who are excited by the process rather than...
And contractually, doing all the contracts and stuff, I think in terms of this, I'm sort of going back to my film example. I can't afford to pay people, so I'm going to give them a share of the net profits, which I'm going to split on according to how many days they've done, so it's like even the crew or people or actors in it. Where do you get your contracts from? Is there like a standard contract thing you get, or...?
There are some, yeah. There are some sort of, I think shooting people have like templates for, but they'll often be sort of the sort of thing that agents will never agree to, because, you know, you're doing a short film and you sort of have to be realistic in what, you know, a decent agent isn't going to let their client sign something that says, right, I'm going to pay you £10 per day, and if the film suddenly gets sold to Netflix, I'm going to keep all that money, like, because you've had your £10. So, I think there are some templates out there. I've got a friend who helps me with that sort of thing, who's sort of legally, is a lawyer and works in sort of TV industry, and he helps me for some reason. But
is that a nightmare dealing with agents then?
Can be, but a lot because I work in comedy, there are only actually quite a few agents, only relatively few agents that you deal with.
Yeah.
So you tend to sort of, you're not coming at it completely cold every time. There are people that you sort of, there are about sort of 10 agents that we'll deal with on a regular basis, so it makes it a lot easier when they know that you're not, you know, just some student trying to rip their client off.
Yeah. So if you're going to be a producer, if you're producing on a, what have you learned from being a producer, and what advice would you give to people? What are the most important things that you've learned?
I think the most important thing that I've learned is that you just need to be really clear about what the project is from the start, because people, I've had some of the best times working on sort of low budget projects where no one's getting paid properly and it might only ever be seen by a couple of hundred people, but because everyone knows what they're there for and there's sort of a common goal, it just makes it that much easier. As soon as you start trying to pretend it's something bigger than it is, or try to get away with stuff, I think that's when people start getting a bit annoyed and irritated, if people feel like they're being ripped off or you know, working too hard for something. So yeah, I think that's my main thing, is just sort of that communication and awareness and
transparency. I should say transparency.
Yeah, and sort of.
Can I say it again?
Just say it again.
Transparency.
That's mainly, yeah. And just sort of an awareness of everything that's going on, and having contingency in your budgets, because often as well, if it's a short film and it's not being funded by the BBC or whatever, if you go over budget, like, where's that going to come from?
How would you put a percentage aside for contingency then?
Yeah.
What is it, like 15% or something?
I tend to, depending on what you're sort of dealing with, either sort of 5 or 10%, because I've learned that the hard way.
If it come out of your own money?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, it's not like...
How many organs have you sold?
Most of, not mine, but with Lucky Chicken, that was one where we just came out the end of it and were suddenly, you know, had to sort of, between me and Gully, the director, and Ollie, the cinematographer, we sort of had to go, we've spent 600 quid more than we have.
Oh, no.
So that's £200 each, and you sort of, everyone else got a little token fee for their work, and we ended up spending money on
minus
it.
Minus money, going down the car wash, working, doing odd jobs for old ladies.
Yeah, so.
But when I say odd jobs, that's the sort of tone this podcast
gets there in the end.
So there we go. We've learned that if you get into production, you end up in debt and have to do things you wouldn't. That's what we're saying, right?
That's what we're saying.
That is the moral of this podcast.
In order to afford the Kit Kats, you have to wash some cars eventually, and the rest.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to let the young producers listening to this programme help enlighten them?
I don't feel that enlightened myself, really.
It's a constant learning process. But your listeners are one of the ones to watch in the industry.
Apparently, yeah.
He's a very good producer, Nicky. Well, thank you very much.
No, thanks
for your time. And remember, listeners, stay hygienic. Marek makes a movie. Marek makes a movie.